going to begin this morning a short series of lessons on our attendance. We'll be studying it this morning and again next week, and whether it goes a third week or not will depend on how much we get done those two Sundays. Before I begin, I wanted to mention to everyone we have out in the entryway on the table some calendars for next year, little pocket calendars for everyone, and if you want to pick those up. For the children, I have some other little things for them, so for the children, if you'll come see me after we're finished today, after we're out of church today, I'll show you what I've got for you. I didn't put it out there with the others. I've got it in my office for you, so if you'll come see me, I'll let you pick something up. But those calendars are our year-end bonus, just like last year. And I know some of you probably have those and get those, but in the mail or whatever from another place. But they're for you anyway. And we should have plenty. Give a little time for everybody to get one. And if in a couple of weeks there's still more out there, you can go back and get three or four or whatever. To have, to give to friends or relatives that has the church address and phone numbers and everything on it, so it can be a good tool for that. I want to entitle our lesson this morning, "What Are You Missing?" What are you missing? The scripture that was read makes it very clear that there were some people, even in the earliest of times in the church, that had begun to miss the assembly of the saints. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 in particular, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Some had that habit. They didn't maybe miss every service, but they had a habit of not being there. We want to look this morning at some of the things that they would have missed, or maybe did miss, if they weren't there. We're going to look in the scriptures at some of the things that occurred when the church was gathered together, when the disciples were gathered together. And we're going to see that these people who had the habit of missing those times of being assembled together missed out on a lot. And we don't want to have that happen to us. Then next week we're going to talk about some of the things that we may miss when we're not here. Some of the things that we won't know about. Some of the things that we won't experience if we're not meeting together when the saints are meeting together. I want to begin by asking this question. How many of you, and you can go ahead and raise your hand if you want to. If you don't want to, I'll just take it as a no. How many of you want to go to heaven? Wasn't that something? Everybody. Just about raising their hand. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Now, in jokes and on television and movies, they show heaven as being a place where you just get to go and have whatever you want and enjoy doing all sorts of things and all this kind of thing. That's not the way the Bible describes heaven. The Bible does describe heaven as a very beautiful place. There's no doubt about that. But it also describes heaven as a place where people praise and worship God continually. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Considering that heaven is a place where you will continually praise and worship God, bowing down before Him, singing songs to Him, maybe even just talking about how wonderful He is, hearing those same Bible stories maybe that you heard when you were a kid, getting to talk with and hear some of those great Bible characters, getting to talk to Moses and have him describe for you what it was like leading the people of Israel out. All of those kind of, just constantly. No night to go to sleep, no TV to turn on to watch. No radio to listen to, no books and magazines to pick up. Let me ask you again. How many of you want to go to heaven? Well, everybody still says they do. Well, then let me ask you this question. And some of you, it'll be easy to answer, and some of you are going to have to think about this. And I don't want you to answer this one out loud or raise your hand to this one. If you want to go to heaven, where constantly, continually, the phrase day and night, even though there's not night there, but all the time, you'll be praising God, then why is it here on earth you can't take 4 hours out of the week to do it? Think about it. We want to go to heaven where we're going to be doing this all the time, but we don't want to take the time to do it now? That doesn't make sense. If we don't enjoy being in the company of the saints here, enjoy singing praises to God, enjoy studying His Word, and enjoy worshiping Him now, what do you think is going to change in eternity? Do you think God's going to flip a magic switch and suddenly we're going to like all of these things that we don't like now? It's not going to work that way. If we don't enjoy worshiping God now, we're not going to enjoy it anymore in eternity. There's no magic button. There's no miracle that happens when we die or when Jesus comes back that changes us in some way that's going to make us like that any better. So we need to think about that. We need to think about what we really want. Now, a lot of us are just saying we want to go to heaven because we know the alternative is really bad. So we maybe say, well, we'll take the lesser of two evils. I don't really like doing all the singing praises to God, worshiping God all the time, and I don't really like all that, but well, it's a whole lot better than burning in a lake of fire. Well, that attitude's not going to get it done. We have to be doing this because we love God. Because we want to worship Him. Because He deserves to be worshipped and praised. What are you missing? First of all, we want to look back to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, in verse 19, the disciples were gathered together. We're going to notice in these passages the use of two or three different words. We're going to see sometimes it simply says they were together, sometimes it says they were gathered or gathered together, or sometimes it'll talk about them being assembled. And of course, if you have the New King James or American Standard, it might use a different word than what the King James does. But here in John chapter 20 and verse 19 it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," they were afraid. The Jews were out to get them. They were afraid. The Jews had just killed Jesus, their master, the Messiah. They just killed Him. So the disciples didn't know what was going to happen to them. But you know what? They didn't all go their separate ways and hide out at home. They were assembled together. So they were assembled. And notice what happened. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. If you had been one of the disciples in the first century, during the time Jesus was teaching and on earth, and after His death, if you had decided not to assemble with the saints that particular day, that particular first day of the week, you would have missed getting to see Jesus. You know how I know that? Well, look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." He missed out. He didn't get to see Jesus on this occasion because he wasn't there. Can you imagine if he had known that Jesus was going to be there that day? Do you think he would have let anything in the world stop him from being there if he had known Jesus was going to come today? But see, he didn't know, so he wasn't there. We need to think about that. We don't know what is going to happen every time the saints are assembled. We don't know what we might miss. Thomas missed a chance to see Jesus after he was resurrected because he wasn't assembled with the other disciples. Fortunately for Thomas, notice verse 26. After 8 days, that would be the next first day of the week then, again his disciples were within, and guess what? Thomas was with them. See, Thomas learned his lesson. He realized that by not being there with the disciples, he missed out on a great opportunity. Now, there was no guarantee this next week that Jesus was going to show up either. Just because he showed up the last week doesn't mean he's going to show up this time. But Thomas knew that if he was going to be somewhere where Jesus might be, that was where he needed to be. And so he was with the saints. And fortunate for him, Jesus did come. Jesus was there. And he got to see Jesus. And he got to touch Jesus. Very significant lesson for us there. What are we missing? Thomas missed getting to see Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Luke writes, verse 4 of chapter 1 of Acts, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus being assembled together with his disciples, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, what if somebody had missed this meeting? This is the meeting where the disciples find out where to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus is telling them secret things. Special revelation here that nobody else knows. Sure, God had said back in Joel, I'll pour out my Spirit. But nobody knew where or when exactly that was going to happen. Jesus tells the disciples, wait here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay here and wait, because the promise is coming in a few days. Not going to be very long, he said. So wait. Well, somebody hadn't been there for that gathering together. They might have missed it altogether. At that point, Jesus takes them up to the Mount of Olives, and he is carried up into heaven, and they return back to Jerusalem in verse 12. They then appoint someone to take Judas's place. And then in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost comes along. Not many days from the time that Jesus had showed, just like he promised. They again, notice chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were gathered together. I'll tell you something, it seems throughout the scriptures that great things happen when God's people are together. And a lot of times, some bad things happen to God's people when they're not together. That being the case, why shouldn't we take every opportunity to be together for that? But here, they were all with one accord in one place. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You missed this gathering, this assembly of the saints, of the apostles, if you'd have been one of them and you missed this, you would have missed receiving the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a few more. We don't have time to look at all of them. I've got 2 pages of scriptures of times when the saints, when the apostles, disciples or so, were gathered together. We read in Hebrews 10:25 about forsaking the assembly. And there's an article in the bulletin about that. And I could stand up here and just pound and pound. We know we're not supposed to miss. It's bad when we miss. It's a sin when we miss. Don't miss. And I could browbeat you with that. But I'm not going to. And the reason I'm not going to is because of what it said in verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke," or as the New King James that Dick read, I like the way it puts it, "to stir up love and good works." We're supposed to be considering one another. I imagine that you've probably heard before that you're not supposed to miss. You know that. You know what Hebrews 10:25 says. Notice what the last part of it says. "But exhorting," or encouraging, "one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." When we know, some debate as to whether this day is the first day of the week that we're going to assemble together, or whether this day is Judgment Day. Either way, we know both are coming. We know when the first day of the week comes. We can easily prepare. But we know the Judgment Day is coming. We can see it coming. We don't know when it's coming, but we know it's coming. We need to be encouraging each other to be here, to enjoy these opportunities, not to miss out on the times when we're gathered together. Let's look at a few more and then we'll be finished for the morning. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, we see again, they're assembled together. And in this case, where they were meeting, the place where they were assembled together, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Now notice what happens in verse 32. There's something about being together here. Verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." These people were so together that they didn't consider anything to be theirs alone. If I have some food and you needed it, you were welcome to it. If I had a house and you needed a place to stay, you were welcome to it. This was the kind of closeness that they had in the first century. But they had it because they were together. They were of one heart and of one soul. Notice verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Great power. How did they get all this great power? Do you remember back in Proverbs where it talks about the stick? It talks about how 2 sticks are stronger. And then it says a 3-fold cord is not easily broken. You take 1 piece of string, it can be broken. You take 2 pieces of string, you get a big old rope, and it's hard to break. If you've ever seen the big ropes they use on ships that are, I don't know, they're probably 3 inches in diameter. Those bigger rocks, can you imagine trying to break one of those? I mean, those things will hold 50-ton ships without any trouble. That's the way it is with us as Christians. When we're by ourselves, Satan can break us. But when we are strongly knit together, wrapped up in one another, we have great power and great strength. The apostles also got that great power from the fact, back in verse 31, that it said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. You notice, none of these great things that are occurring are happening when there's a group together to listen to a concert, or when a group gets together to watch a sporting event, or the races, the Olympics of ancient Rome and Greece. The things that are great are happening when people of spiritual mind are gathered together doing spiritual things. If we want to see some great things happen, we need to get our minds on spiritual matters. And we need to gather ourselves together like they did in the first century and do spiritual things, and we'll see great results. The apostles, it said, turned the world upside down. 12 men turned the world upside down. The Jews were even complaining about it. They said, they which have turned the world upside down are come here. What are we going to do about it? They're turning the world upside down. 12 of them. How many of us are there? Last week there were 52. Of course, not all Christians. We had some visitors, and there were children, of course. But about 35 adult Christians here in Buck. That's just here. The apostles, 12 of them, turned the world upside down. What could we do if we're together? But when we have to spend half or more of our time just trying to encourage each other to be together, we don't have nearly the time we need to reach out to those that are outside and try to bring them in. What are you missing? What are we missing? In the first century, great things happened, miraculous things. Now, we can't expect miraculous things, but great things, still, all the same, great things can happen, even today. God, through His providence, through the power of His gospel, through the power of prayer, can do great things. We've seen a small taste of the things that He can do when we have our prayers and we pray and those prayers are answered. We see that's just a smidgen. That's just a little taste of what could happen if we were all together. What are you missing? We'll look at one more. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. All of us want to be called Christians. Oh, to be called a Christian, to be named after Christ, to be known as a follower of Christ, what a blessing that is. But in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we're going to see something very interesting. Verse 25, Barnabas went to find Saul, as we know him better, Paul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now, I don't know if that means every day for a whole year. It very well could. They were doing that back then. Acts chapter 2 says they were daily from house to house, every day back then. And we gripe about having to come out 2 days a week. They were doing it every day they were getting together. And there are some that, well, it's just too much on me to get out on Wednesday at 2. It's too much for me to come out twice on Sunday. These folks were getting together every day of the week. They knew how special what they had was. Maybe we've just gotten to the point where it's not special to us anymore to be a Christian. but to these people it was. They came for a whole year. They assembled themselves with the church in Antioch. And look what happened. They taught much people. And you know, I could go to each of your individual houses and could teach you this lesson. I could send Philip and Alex and Dick to each house to teach a lesson on any given topic. But think how much quicker, how much more expedient, how many more people can be taught when we do it all at once, when we're all together like this. In 1 hour this morning, we're having 35 to 40, maybe 45 people taught this lesson. If I had to go to each individual house, it would take me 40 hours, probably, at least. That's not counting the travel time. So look at what could be going on, how much can be taught. And that's what happened here. They were together with the church and they taught much people because they were together. People complain because I just don't know the Bible. Well, certainly you need to study on your own. We've talked about that a number of times. But if you're not even coming when there is a lesson being given, I wonder if you really want to know the Bible or not. We're having this opportunity right here. We're looking at several passages. Passages that you could be learning. Passages that some who aren't here, that should be here, could be learning. Here then, we see in verse 26, let's look on to the rest of the verse. What would you miss if you're not in the assembly? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We so proudly proclaim we're Christians. Here, they were assembled together. They were teaching and learning. The apostles doing the teaching, the saints doing the learning. And because of that being assembled with the church together there, the disciples gained the name Christian. You imagine they gave that name to everybody in the town? You think they gave that name to everybody who had ever once attended that church? They gave that name to the people who were assembling themselves with the church. There are a lot of people in the community you run up on. Oh yeah, I used to go to that church. Yeah, I went there back years ago. I know that church. My mama went there once. That didn't make folks Christians. We say, well, I go every once in a while. It doesn't make us Christians either. These people were assembling themselves with the church. And because of that, they gained the blessing of being called Christians first. Now later, all sorts of folks have taken the name Christian. A lot of them that it doesn't belong to them. They abuse it and misuse it. But here, for the first time, we're talking about a special occurrence. For the first time, these people gained the new name that God had promised. I will call my people by a new name. And those who were not my people will be my people, Hosea says. Here it is, right here in Acts chapter 11. But if you had been perhaps a baptized believer, who was in the habit of forsaking the assembling of the saints there in Antioch, you would have missed out on that. There are many more. We'll continue more next week looking at some of these things that occurred in the first century, things that those who had the habit of forsaking the assembly missed out on. And there are so many more things today, in our lifetime, that we miss out on when we're not here. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience to the gospel, to become a Christian as those in Antioch, to become a part of God's family so that you then can begin assembling together with the church and not just being in the same place. Being together means being of one heart, one soul, like we read earlier. Being of the same mind, Same mindset. If you have that need, today is the day of salvation. You're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't realized how much you're missing because you don't assemble with the saints on a regular basis. Or maybe you only come once a week. You're missing. If you're only here for 1 out of 4 hours in the week, you're missing 75% of what you could be getting. You're missing 75% of the blessings and the experiences that the other Christians who are here all 4 of those hours are enjoying. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we